In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Ever heard of the great Blondin? Charles Blondin was the greatest tightrope walker of all time. He performed in the mid to late 1800s. His most famous act was to walk across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. After he would perform that feat, the master of ceremonies would say to the crowd, "Who believes that the great man Blondin could walk across the Niagara Falls with a man on his back?" And the crowd would usually shout, "Yes, we believe." Then the MC would say, "Who would like to volunteer to be the man on the great Blondin's back when he walks across the falls on the tightrope?" The response then would usually prove that old overworked cliche is true. A lot of people can talk the talk, but very few people can walk the walk. I was thinking about the great Blondin when I read the Old Testament reading today. God had led his people out of their slavery in Egypt. Moses had spent time with the Lord up on Mount Sinai, the Lord instructing him. Moses came back down the mountain, told the people all that the Lord had said, all that he had commanded them, and the people answered with one voice, "All that the Lord says, we will do." They obviously believed what the Lord said because they were very eager to commit themselves to do what God had said. You can probably guess how well that worked out. A few years ago, there was a debate of sorts in a Christian magazine over what I see as a similar issue. The magazine had published an article about the Bible. Is it accurate? Can it be trusted? In response to that article, someone proudly wrote a letter to the editor saying, "I believe every word of the Bible." That struck me as maybe a little overconfident. The next month, someone else wrote a letter to the editor that struck me as more honest, perhaps, more genuine. The theme of that letter was, "I can't really say that I believe every word of the Bible, but I want to, and I'm trying really hard to." We ought to believe the Bible. We should. It's true. It's God's inspired word to us through the Holy Spirit. We proclaim that the Bible is infallible. We Lutherans say that it is our authority. It is the rule and norm for all doctrine. Yet, at the same time, the Bible challenges us. It pushes our mental envelopes. It stretches our perceptions of reality. In the Old Testament, we read about God commanding his people to wage war. That might not square with the image of God as we usually think about him. In the New Testament, we read about miracles like we have never seen in our lifetime. It piques our skepticism. Our faith stands or falls on Jesus rising from the dead, and you and I have never known a dead person that rose again. And we haven't even mentioned the debates about creationism and evolution, or how thoughts on ethics have changed over time, and what in the Bible is to be taken literally and what's to be taken figuratively. I'll say just a few words about that. When the Psalms say that the trees will clap their hands, we know the trees don't have hands. When Jesus tells us to cut off our hand or pluck out an eye rather than sin, that doesn't mean that authentic Christians have to have one hand and one eye. So how do we interpret what the Bible says? Our Lutheran tradition and the Universal Church has some good guidance for us on how to understand the Bible. When reading the Bible, we don't look for hidden messages or secret codes. The Bible means what it says and says what it means. The plain, simple message you get from reading a passage of Scripture is usually the correct one. When we come to something in the Bible that we don't understand, we interpret it in light of what we readily understand. God is not trying to confuse us with the Bible, but some people will confuse us with what they say the Bible says. Always be suspicious when someone comes up with a new, novel, never before heard of interpretation of the Bible. Do you really think that Martin Luther and 500 years worth of Lutheran Bible scholars have missed anything at all? Has the whole Christian church been wrong for 2,000 years? Would God leave us in the dark all that time? Didn't Jesus open the Scriptures to the disciples, and then they went and taught others, and the Christian faith was passed on? And when it comes to understanding trees clapping their hands and people cutting their hands off, I really like what C.S. Lewis said. He said, "I take the Bible literally, where it is meant to be taken literally, and I take the Bible figuratively, where it's meant to be taken figuratively." I say, you don't need a PhD to understand the Bible. You just need a little common sense and some faith. The people said to Moses and to God that they would do all that the Lord said. We know that they failed miserably. For evidence, you can read Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and go from there. How about us, the people who confess faith in God and faith in Christ? Can we today do all that God says? Can we do all that the Bible says? A while back, some pollster took a survey about how people practice their Christian faith. Some denominations scored very high on things like going to church every Sunday, praying every day, tithing their income, and things like that. We Lutherans scored dismally on those scales. And I got the feeling that there were some Lutherans who took sort of a twisted delight in how bad the statistics were. Personally, I don't trust or believe that study. I think some people are encouraged to boast about their piety and say things they might not really do, while we Lutherans are taught to be more humble about our piety and perhaps not give ourselves enough credit for the good things we do. That said, the average Christian, Lutheran or otherwise, certainly does not do all that the Lord says. We can't. We're imperfect. David nailed it in the Psalms when he said that we were all conceived in sin, we're sinners from the womb. Jesus tells us not to slander others, not to look at people with lust, not to lash out with others in anger. But we do. We all do. And that's a big problem. Although a lot of people these days try to spin that another way. Ever hear of Aleister Crowley? He died in 1947. The press dubbed him as the wickedest man in the world. He used to refer to himself as Satan's chief of staff. He wrote books on Satanism and black magic. And those books are being read by a lot of people in Hollywood today who write movies and direct movies, and they're putting his bad ideas into their films, and that's just disturbing. When it comes to ethics and morality, that's how people ought to live, Crowley summed up his teaching this way: "Do as thou wilt will be the whole of the law." In other words, there is no right or wrong. Just do whatever you want, whatever gives you pleasure, and don't worry about anybody else. That was his philosophy of life. Isn't that exactly how a lot of people are living right now? The Christian faith offers us a better alternative. Ever hear of St. Augustine? He was an influential Christian teacher who lived in the 4th century. His teaching has given shape and form to the way that the church still today thinks and talks about original sin, how we live the Christian life, how we describe God as a holy trinity, and things like that. Our denomination's fountain, Martin Luther, was for a time in a monastery that followed St. Augustine. As ironic as it sounds, St. Augustine said something very close to what Aleister Crowley said, "Do as thou wilt," but with a decisive difference. Augustine wrote, "Love and do what you please." The love referred to there is the love of God. True love of God automatically spills over into love for our neighbors. Augustine is saying that when we truly love God and others, we will naturally do what is good and right for them. A person fully immersed in God's love is happy to do what is holy in God's eyes and beneficial for others. Genuine love doesn't seek to serve itself or seek its own pleasure. Pure, holy love leads us to do what pleases God, like an instinct, like a reflex, without us even consciously thinking about it. Mature Christians do what God says because his love and his truth are ingrained into us. And if we need direction on how to behave, it's all right there in the Bible. We can read the Ten Commandments and the Sermon on the Mount for starters. Remember the great Blondin. Some brave souls sooner or later would volunteer to be carried piggyback as he walked that tightrope across Niagara Falls. I wonder what Blondin would say to the volunteer. I bet it was something like, "Try to relax. Don't be afraid. Just hang on tight and let me do the work. Don't worry. I've got this." In all of his years of performing, Blondin never lost a volunteer. Today, we look at the pandemic. We look at the violence in our streets. We look at the deep divisions in our society and so many, many other problems. It may feel to us like we are about to plunge into Niagara Falls without a life jacket. Ever hear of Jesus Christ? Could Jesus be saying to us, "Try to relax. Don't be afraid. Just hang on tight and let me do the work. Don't worry, I've got this." No soul who has faith in Christ has ever been lost. The work Jesus did was done on a cross on a Friday afternoon outside of Jerusalem as he was slain for a world of lost sinners. Christ did what he pleased. It pleased him to be our Savior. It was love that led Jesus to the cross. What Christ did pleased God the Father and fulfilled the whole of the law, all that the Lord says. Jesus' love wasn't hedonistic or self-serving. Christ's love for us is self-sacrificing and for our good. If I had to walk a tightrope across Niagara Falls to save my soul, I'd be lost. If I had to go to the cross and die for all humanity, humanity would be doomed. But neither you nor I have to do anything like that. Jesus did it for us. Now Christ calls us to hang on to him, to believe, to trust, to have faith, to love him above all else. And that's hard. Few people would volunteer to climb on Blondin's back. Even fewer people will pick up Jesus' cross. It's harder to believe than not to. It's even harder to live out our faith. But by God's grace, we can. We can. God builds up faith in us with his holy word. He nourishes our faith with the sacrament. We can trust and obey both in word and in action. By God's grace, we can. So, love God and others, and when you do as you please, you will do all that the Lord says. Amen.